Okay, beginning here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay, again, Peter's identifying his position as the one that would lay the foundation as Peter and the rock. Okay, and we also remember how the Lord gave particular names, like surnames, one to Peter, and also one to James and John. And we know also that James and John were confirmers of these of this foundation, which Jesus was speaking to Peter, and which Peter was laying in the minds or the hearts of the people. Okay, and this is in 1 Peter chapter 1. So he's identifying his position. Okay, again, was Jesus assigned to him? The same thing with us. And okay, we're identifying with those things which Jesus is assigned for us to perform. Okay, and to build. Okay, so Peter's identifying his position and calling. Okay, of course, by doing that, he was not exhibiting any kind of, you could say, boast of man, okay, but rather just informing, okay, and identifying his position in the government of God. The same thing that we do, okay, identifying our position in the government of God. Okay, so Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and a stranger scattered throughout Pontus, okay, that these would return to Pontus, and we see that in chapter 3. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Okay, in other words, writing this epistle right here, that they would be in recognition of the stewardship, okay, and that they would properly acknowledge this, okay, and build with it, because many were scattered abroad, okay, upon Stephen's death. Okay, and the opening stages of the persecution that began there in Jerusalem, okay, with the law that went forth from the religious elite, you know. Right, they're making the laws in order to try to restrict, okay, any kind of influence of the apostles. There were these fishermen, okay, that were laying claims to have a greater knowledge of the Torah than the Pharisees. The thing of it is the fishermen had the proper perspective, and they had the mind of Christ. Whereas the Pharisees, even though they had, great roots within tradition, okay, and had a great knowledge of the text, okay, missed the plan of God, didn't they? Okay, they assaulted the plan of God and came in conflict with it.
What comes to mind there is that scripture that speaks of what man means for harm, God means for good.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the scattering took the gospel further.
Okay. So he's identifying, the saints which are scattered abroad right here in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And he calls them here in verse 2 the elect. Okay, elect also has to do with those which are selected. Okay, and God has selected you to grace. Okay, so those which embrace the grace of God are the elect. Okay, chosen to salvation, chosen to the inheritance. Okay, chosen to sonship and heirship. Kings and priests. So, are you elect according to the foreknowledge of God? Okay, now the word foreknowledge right there has to do with this is the pattern which God has elected for those that would love Him. Okay. Now God has also chosen a pattern for those which elected to resist Him, called the broad way. Okay, the broad way has to do with the stones of ignorance. Okay, the stones of ignorance building with the knowledge of the prince of the air, okay, principalities and powers of the air. Okay, building with false knowledge. So highlight the word elect there. Okay, these were those which embraced the grace. Embrace the grace, that's good. Embrace the grace, right? Okay, according to the foreknowledge of God. So this is what God predetermined, okay, before He initiated this plan. Okay, He predetermined these things within His own self, in the bosom of the Father. Okay, that He would initiate a pattern, okay, which upon those which reciprocate by this knowledge, okay, would be assigned, okay, a position, a crown, a mansion, a dimension, okay, an inheritance. Okay, but those, okay, which elected not to, okay, but chose ignorance over knowledge, the knowledge of God, okay, would then be severed, okay, and put into place of confinement, a compartment of torment, okay, in order to redirect the God code, okay, like God code going in reverse. Okay, so in verse 2 there, elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father. Now He's governing our destiny and parenting us, okay, through this pattern or prophetic path, isn't He? Okay, Okay, he's governing our destiny, G-O-D, God. He's governing our destiny, and he's parenting us. Okay, and he's also showing us the reason why Peter is electing to use these particular words here, the word Father, is showing this the superiority of the Spirit and flame. Okay, or that which is, of course, is the flesh and water. Okay, so when God came into this dimension, into the form of known as Jesus, who being the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, that the equality of the substance, okay, would be redeemed. Okay, would be redeemed, and that God would unite again these two powers together in Himself. Okay, the fire and the water and the spirit and the flesh, that He unite these together in Himself. Okay, hence we have the name Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus being that which is earthbound. Okay, Christ being that which is heavenbound. Okay, uniting these two dimensions within Himself. And we see this played out, okay, in the book of Revelation. Okay, okay, whereas we see the God Almighty and the Lamb, okay, be united together again. Okay, fire and water, okay, and flame and flesh. So elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Okay, that by this tethering, okay, which is the Spirit, and by the superior tethering right here, okay, we would be separated from the world unto Himself. That He would separate us from Himself, or from the world to Himself. Okay, sanctification. Okay, that we would be accepted of God, accepted of the Beloved on these terms. Okay, we'd be accepted of the Beloved on these terms. Okay, and of course, it begins with this engrafting in the seal of the Spirit as a first point of our sanctification for service. And we'll see this here in a moment. So elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. So that's where he's talking about the Spirit. Okay, that which is superior to the flesh. Sanctification of the Spirit. Okay, being that which is superior to flesh. And then we see here unto obedience. Okay, a new commandment. We see under each covenant that God initiated certain commandments or activity for or performance. Okay, a performance or terms to show our love towards Him. Okay, and this is what Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue my love. Okay. So we see here, okay, that there is a perpetual tether that's joined to Jesus Christ, a perpetual tether. Okay, a perpetual tether of keeping of His commandments, which is the order activity. Okay, a new order activity have I assigned to you. Okay, not that which was first assigned to Moses or carried through in tradition even through David, okay, but a new commandment which I'm assigning to you. Okay, that your love or expression of charity, okay, would be by these terms and new covenant commandments, okay, which I have sanctified in myself. Okay, I sanctify myself for these things. And of course Jesus brought this out in the Gospel of John. Okay, so sanctification. God sanctified Himself or restricted Himself to perform a certain task in order to provide a new record for our faith to be expressed with. Okay, whereas the first record was put within Moses and things of death. Okay, now the second one was put within Christ as things of life. The reason why I say the things of death is because it was earthbound. It was only in types and shadows. Okay, the shadow did not provide the substance. Okay, as an apple tree would cast a shadow. Okay, when we go out and pick apples, okay, we're not trying to glean, okay, images on the ground. Okay, we glean that which is in the tree, don't we? Okay, and Jesus fulfilled these things in Himself. Okay, so that our gleaning would not be attached with anything or any tokens of death. Okay, because the tokens of death have to do with sorrow of loss. Everything under that first covenant was consumed upon the altar, which has to do with sorrow of loss. So I'm going to give you joy for sorrow. And that's what He says, I'm going to give you joy for sorrow. I'm going to give you another covenant that's going to far exceed that, which is of temporal things. Okay, and still being joined to death of the temporal things, okay, the conscience couldn't be pure. Okay, but now that I have risen from the dead, okay, I stand as your judge for the conscience. Okay, so now you're accepted as the Beloved. through sanctification of the Spirit, so I highlight the word sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience of sprinkling in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we've got the second covenant right there. So you can put the word, you can put the letter 2 there, and the word, or the number 2 and the letter C, second covenant. When he ever says the words concerning sprinkling the blood, or the cross, or the tree, or the wood, okay, of course he's identifying the covenant which Jesus purchased. Okay. So he says right here, unto obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, not that of the beast, okay, the animal. Okay, because we read about that a couple days ago, okay, and regarding the tokens of that first covenant. Okay, everything in that first covenant had to be washed and sprinkled with water, okay, or sprinkled with blood, washed water, sprinkled with blood. Okay, which was only a type and shadow of what Jesus would provide for us in himself, fulfilling these things. Okay, that in him would all fullness dwell. So we can see all these tokens of that first covenant, okay, as concerning the, well, the tabernacle, I'll take that one, okay. The tabernacle, okay, the priesthood, okay, also the Urim and Thummim, okay, and the breastplate, and all the garments, all the furniture, okay, the altar of incense, the table of showbread, okay, the candlestick, okay, the bath, okay, everything. Okay, these were all portions, okay, which now God says, I'm gonna take in all this right here, okay, and I'm gonna put them right within myself. Okay, put them right within myself. See, now we have these things within our heart. Okay, now our heart is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and our heart is the altar. Okay, we have everything, all these tokens now being fulfilled in Christ. Everything is in him. Because all these portions, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, okay. You see there's 10 of them there, okay, all right, which equals 100. Okay, 10 times 10 is 100. Okay, so I'm going to put it in the fullness of him, okay, so that you no longer have to reach out and just take a portion. Because everything that had a portion to it, okay, everything had a portion to it was of a temporary, had temporary usage. Okay, even the person himself, the high priest died. Okay, and it had to be replaced with the next generation. Okay. So the blood of the beast was sprinkled on these things. Okay, which had to do with the temporal things, and had to do it also with the beastly nature of man. It was only the law addressed it only. Okay, the moral code. Okay, and the law cannot make him that even perform the law perfect. And of course, Paul brought that out. That was pertaining to the conscience. It cannot you make you perfect pertaining to the conscience, but you had to believe, okay, that these tokens would have forgiveness of sins. If you accepted these things, yes, you'd be forgiven your sins. Okay, and then you would have to wait the time till Christ would come to bring down the completion of that. And that's what he did when he went to the lower parts of the earth, when he went to hell. Not the suffering place, but the place of the righteous. Okay, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ in verse 2 there. Now he talks about these other elements. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Okay, the word multiply is important. Okay, so here is another token right here, another element we see. Sanctification, grace, and peace. Okay, grace again has to do with these, a new form of communication, knowledge, revelation, illumination, okay, enlightenment, okay, would come, okay, with this new covenant. That's right. This knowledge is given. Grace is given for right change and for increase. Okay. Okay. That God will communicate with this new tether. Okay. New communication. New commandment. And that's what Jesus said. New commandment I give unto you. Okay. As you've also Apostle John writes about the same thing. He says the same thing there. A new commandment I give unto you. Not an old commandment, but a new commandment. We see that in 1 John chapter 2. A new commandment I give unto you. Which thing is true in him, okay, and in you. Okay, which thing is true in him, and in you. He's showing the tether. This commandment is now a new tether of grace. Okay, new knowledge for your to keep these new terms of this new covenant. Okay, which now you are you have now a spiritual priesthood. You are spiritual stones, and you're offering up spiritual sacrifices. Okay, with a spiritual priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, be multiplied, which shows also increase. Okay, if the increase is not evident, okay, that's because there's something that's absent. Okay, now in the false religious system, okay, it is evident even to the eye, Okay, that there is no increase, that the increase of the Spirit is not there. Okay, there's no abounding in faith, there's no abounding in charity, there's no increasing of knowledge, no wisdom, neither an understanding. Okay, but everything is looped just to the historical facts. And we can see this happen right here just this past Passover. Okay, it was looped just to historical facts so that they would celebrate, okay, the those things which are not perfect. They were celebrating the imperfections and not the perfect one. Okay, because when Jesus hung on a cross, okay, it was only for the purpose of bringing us into his perfection. Okay, and all they were doing is celebrating the imperfections, okay, the history. Okay, and in that celebration, they were partaking of the earthly things, okay, which has to do with the bread and the wine. Okay, which of course, now after you ingest, after you eat, and after you eat and drink, it's gone. Okay, which means death was present. Death was present in those tokens. Same thing with the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is here, but then it's gone. Okay, which means death accompanied it. Because anything that springs from the soil and is marked by time, okay, is in a dimension of darkness and death. Okay? So if it's in darkness and death, no eternal life is attached to it, because God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Okay, the true tokens do not reside in the earth. The true tokens reside in his bosom. In his bosom. For God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Christ is that light which is in the bosom of the Father. Okay, and that's what Jesus said. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go to my Father, and then I'm going to come again. When I come again, I'm going to come again in a new form. Okay, I'm not going to come into the form of restriction and suffering. I'm going to come in a form of, has to do with regeneration and life. Okay, and I will be with you forever. Okay, I'm going to accompany you forever. Okay, because the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Okay, the prince of this world comes and he has nothing within me. Okay, meaning this. Okay, that I'm going to provide a new record. Okay, which Satan is going to try to counterfeit this record which I'm giving to you. Okay, which, by the way, the record which he gives to you, I will not enter into it. It will be a lifeless record. It'll be lifeless because he's going to use the law for the moral code, okay, rather than a record for faith. Melissa?
So we never want to go back and use the 10 commandments because we have 2 new commandments, and we keep those 2 new commandments. Mm-hmm. We fulfill the law.
That's right, you fulfill the law, right.
No, we keep the commandments that we've done using, and then we use them for faith.
Mm-hmm.
We keep the new commandments, not the 10.
No, the commandments, we keep them that we've done using for
faith. Now, even though I identify with the great commandment, which of course is love God and have no other gods before him.
Yeah.
Okay, no other philosophy, any other philosophy will be an idol.
Right.
Right, right. We can see how that was fulfilled. Okay, in the lives of David, in the lives of Samson, okay, also in the lives of the judges, okay, how God bridged those things, okay, like in Samson's case, how God, particularly in Samson's case, how God bridged that because of his faith, and also David, another example, okay, and this is what David, he saw this, that Lord, you do not take delight in burnt offerings and sacrificing rivers of blood, okay, or flocks of oxen or sheep. You don't take delight in that. Okay, what you take delight in is our faith.
You can see that too in those people that were used as examples, how people that lived by the law would say, you know, how could they be so favored in God's eyes? He was an adulterer, and when you look at it through the law, your mind says he was a sinner, but God didn't see that. God saw his faith, right?
That's right. And he was also, it made it very, very difficult for the Levites, most to accept any of his revelations. Yeah, most the pattern of the temple, it made it very difficult. And as you read the book of Psalms, you can see the debates and the struggles that he had with them. Okay, and that's why God put him in that position that he was as a steward and as a king. Because being in a position as steward or king, they couldn't just randomly grab him, kick him out, and stone him. They couldn't do that, see? Okay, but he had many enemies even of his own house. Okay, and those which leaned the ear of sympathy, okay, to the Pharisees, those were the ones also which supported, like Absalom. Okay, not the Pharisees, but okay, those that mindset. Mm-hmm. The mindset. Right.
I'd like to interject something here for me.
Yeah.
Okay, when Evangelist Melissa, you're saying those that we don't keep the law now, because we're keeping the new law of grace and truth. The word keep, I want to interpret that. The word keep means observe. So that's
sorry,
important.
Sorry.
The word keep means observe.
Oh, observe, sorry.
Because what Apostle Francois is presenting to us is that we do keep the law, but in this case you're talking about fulfill. So if you use the word observe instead of the word keep, then it makes sense. Because we're not observing Moses. That's clear. We are observing Jesus Christ. So are we keeping, observing the law of Moses? No. We're observing Jesus Christ by the law of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. Understanding that is important for your faith, because this is whom God has given us to observe. Now, in observing Jesus Christ and that law of grace and truth, are we fulfilling the law of Moses? Yes. Mm-hmm. Because that's walked out by his grace.
Right. Now, if you're not walking by the Spirit, then you're automatically condemned by the law.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, if you look at the royal law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, mm-hmm. and love your neighbor as yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the Ten Commandments, they're there. Mm-hmm. Give those two in the royal law of the New Testament.
Right, of loving, right, uh-huh.
And that, right. Now if
you can't change the commandments.
You can't fulfill them.
If you then look at that royal law of Jesus Christ, if you observe him,
mm-hmm.
then all these, this vehicle of the covenant and the tools and the knowledge, if you're observing your priesthood, then you're loving your neighbor because you're expressing charity.
Right, then no offense. There's no offense
mm-hmm.
within that
you're
law.
Not,
right?
Your labor, the covenant demands a labor, but the labor is in service to God. And with that labor is carried this power called peace. And so that settles the agitation. With that labor comes this power that is called joy. So you take joy in building, not tearing down. So the fruit will always accompany the work.
Okay.
That's how you explain that.
Okay, good. All right, so it goes on here in verse 2 here, grace be unto you in peace. Okay, and of course, Chief Teacher Mia was just expounding on that there in verse 2 there, the word peace there. Okay, as concerning resolving the agitation, because it becomes a buffer. That spirit becomes a buffer, okay, against these assaults. Okay. Particularly the assaults of the false knowledge. Okay, the assaults of false knowledge that want to continue to ruin your faith, okay, but to build your self-esteem. Okay, this is where the moral code and the aspiration will come in. Okay, when the moral code and the aspiration is being resourced, okay, in order to try to find substance of your self-worth, okay, then you're assaulting God. Okay, but if you're working with faith, okay, then you're putting to death the old man. Okay, and you're assaulting Satan's kingdom. Okay, which works the aspiration with the moral code. Okay, whereas an individual tries to find their worthiness within those things. Okay, but in verse 3 here, he goes on, okay, regarding the multiplication process, which is manifested within the assembly. It goes, blessed be the God and Father. That's the same language, which the Apostle Paul uses in Ephesians 1:3. So he goes on, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Peter, as the Apostle Paul, okay, is establishing this living tether of his grace. Okay, as long as we were in these earthly forms, in this body, okay, we show subjection and servitude. We show subjection and servitude. Okay, but then once we get our new bodies, okay, then we're no longer in subjection and servitude, okay, except now we're reigning, okay, because we're in a new body. Okay, so blessed be the God and Father. Now the word blessed right there also has to do with form of increase, okay, and benefit. A benefit and increase will come by the Spirit and His tether. The grace of God will be, okay, will continue to provide you richly, this abundance of increase, okay, like a gold mine. Okay, the bosom of our Father is like a gold mine. Okay, and out of those treasures, okay, which of course is, you cannot exhaust it, as you say, non-exhaustible. Okay. You cannot exhaust the treasures of God because He continually benefits us, okay, with these tokens, with these powers. And of course, we talk about that in verse 9. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, showing us that the Spirit is superior to the flesh, okay, and that by faith, Okay, we walk according to the Spirit. By faith, we walk according to the Spirit. Okay, which means we're reflecting upon the revelation of God in His prophetic path. Now you're walking by the Spirit. Okay, it doesn't mean that when you're walking by the Spirit, it doesn't mean that suddenly you have to shed all your frailty. Okay, and this is what the false religious system teaches, and this is where a lot of mental conflict comes in. Okay, as a snake sheds its skin. Okay, they think, well, okay, if I'm a Christian, okay, then I have shed all my frailty. No, that's not true right now. Okay, and right now, and this is what the Apostle Paul talks about. Okay, concerning, okay, that, okay, all the creation right now is suffering under this bondage. Okay, remember he talks about that? Okay, and desires to be delivered from this body of bondage, which we're presently in. Okay, which carries with it, okay, all these restrictions of death. Okay, the body, okay, has all the restrictions of death attached to it. But we don't use those things for faith. Okay, because by faith, these things which... Okay, which attach itself to the moral code, okay, are now being put to death, okay, which we see up here. Okay, we're putting the law and its powers to death by walking by this new covenant. Okay, we're putting these powers to death. But even though these powers are put to death, yet we still maintain our frailty. You have to eat, you have to sleep, okay, and you have to perform those particular tasks, okay, which God has put within the signature. But you're not using the signature for faith. You're not using the moral code for faith. You're using the covenant for your faith. Okay? That's where the difference comes in. Okay? Because by using the covenant for faith, now the peace of God is ruling within your heart. Okay? Whereas up here, by using the law of Moses, now you can see that this religious person up here is trying to bring equity in everything in their life. They're trying to put God first. You see, God, family, and then career. Okay? When you try to put God, family, and career within those orders, you can see what he's doing. He's exercising the moral code. Mm-hmm. Okay? Whereas when you're walking by faith, okay, these things come into a natural rhythm. Okay? Because Christ is working within you. Okay? This now follows into a natural rhythm of regeneration. Okay? And what are you overcoming? This is what you're overcoming. By keeping the window shut, you're overcoming these things. Satan, self, and the world. Satan, self, and the world. Yourself, Satan, and the world. Okay? See, but the law of Moses always addressed these things. Okay, it always addressed these things in order to keep things within its proper perspective. Okay? But it didn't bring regeneration. Jesus Christ brought regeneration. So even though the Jews had things in proper perspective, yet their hearts also longed after Baal. Okay, they worshiped Baal. Okay, so they say, well, I'm marrying only within the family of our tribe. Okay, I'm observing the dietary laws. Okay, and we're keeping within those restrictions as Moses gave, and plus I'm going to church every day. But the thing is, you're going to the wrong church. You're going to the house of Baal, see? So this is what's confusing to them, because it says, yeah, but we're giving our money, we're giving our time, and look at all these things that are working with us. Okay? And so they were observing, they are observing the circumstances, okay, of the benefits of the law. Okay, but yet they were not in keeping of it because their hearts went astray. And we remember reading about that, their hearts went astray.
You can see the hard taskmaster in that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, driving you, because you're looking at your flesh and you're not perfect in your flesh.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you're trying to bring perfection by imperfections, mm-hmm. Okay, by contaminated things. And it's giving contaminated water to somebody that's very sick. Okay, of course, to give contaminated water to somebody that's very sick, well, it's not going to really aid them in their recovery, is it? Okay. So he goes on here, blessed be the God and Father, because he is the one that benefits us through this tethering. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy. There's another token. We got grace up there, peace up there, and we got mercy right here. Same thing the Apostle Jude brings out. Okay, he talks about also mercy, okay, grace, mercy, peace. Okay, so mercy again has to do with his active involvement. Okay, but his active involvement is only within the terms of the covenant. Okay, his active involvement is only in the terms of the covenant. Okay, other than that, okay, you could say it would be his compassion. Okay, it would be his compassion. Okay, even those in a false religious system, okay, receive certain benefits of the residual. Okay, the residual effect. Okay, as Jesus also brought to the attention of his apostles, or actually John brought Jesus' attention. We saw when casting out devils, Okay, but he wasn't really a part of our group right here. Okay? And all Jesus is saying, he's talking about the residual effect, okay, of that. It's the same thing with the woman, okay, that touched the hem of his garment. Okay, that was a residual effect. Okay, even though she wasn't a Jew. Okay, and that's why Jesus says it's only necessary for me first to go to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Of course, then, but because of what she said, okay, and that Jesus perceived that she had faith, she benefited from that, okay, from that healing. That's a residual effect we call there.
Would you say that also would be like the crumbs under the table?
How
would you
yes,
say
uh-huh.
the same thing, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
Like the little dog that eats the crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Or
right.
Great faith in
it. Okay. So even they receive certain benefits from that. Okay, but his mercy, okay, is with those that walk uprightly. His mercy is with those which are in covenant with him. Okay, and the reason why we say that is because we take confidence and consolation within that. We take confidence and consolation within those things. Okay, that we know that God, okay, will continually perform or and uphold the terms of this covenant as we continue to reflect upon what he gives to us. Okay, we reflect, we rehearse, we reciprocate. Okay, our memorial, okay, stands within Jesus Christ. Okay, our memorial stands within Jesus Christ. See, mercy, okay, abundant mercy has begotten us again. There's the word begotten. Okay, which also talks about it, that new birth. Okay, a new birth. Okay, God has removed us, okay, from the memorial of the birth of the flesh to the memorial of the birth of the spirit. Peter brings it out, being born of the Spirit. Removing us from the memorials of the birth of the flesh. Okay, which history is Adam and his fall. Okay, and which history also is accompanied with death, death upon death. Okay, but now, okay, and now being born of the Spirit, okay, our history stands in the bosom of the Father, which of course is now life and the life. Right, mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Okay, because that which is of the earthly, okay, the earthly hope was with Moses, okay, and this is what we also bring out, why the Lord did these things. Okay, the Lord first made it known to Abraham, okay, that kings will come out from him, okay, but there will also be two different or separate kingdoms, okay, as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Okay, two different kinds of kingdoms and two different kinds of covenants would accompany those kingdoms. Okay, that which is of the seashore, okay, would be that which is through that of earthbound and would be with Moses. We'll see that fulfilled during the millennium. Okay, and then as the stars of heaven. Okay, we'll see that also fulfilled in Abraham. Okay, fulfilled, or what was promised to Abraham was fulfilled in Christ and be carried forth to the as the stars of heaven. See that? So you see the two separate ones right there. But then we'll see them brought back together again. So it goes like this. It goes, okay, it was given to Abraham, okay, and then somebody it was fulfilled in Moses at that period of time. Then Christ came down to bring it back together again, okay, which should be fulfilled at a later date, okay, which, of course, during the millennium. Okay, during the millennial reign of Christ, okay, that which is, as it's written, that you will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, okay, so then it comes down on the earth. Okay, fulfilled within us and then brought back to the stars, okay, fulfilled in Christ, okay, in the bosom of the Father. So we can see how they separate, come together, and separate, and come together, okay, in that. Okay, as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and he says innumerable. Okay, so he's begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, that power which is from above. Okay, that power which is from above. Okay, which of course is separating death now from all the tokens. His resurrection was separating death, circumcising death from all the tokens now which we use. So we have now a new circumcision. Okay, the circumcision of the flesh was given to Abraham and fulfilled through Moses, and now also and also given to Moses the earthly things. But Jesus fulfilled it in the Spirit, okay, which makes it perpetual. Okay. Okay, the resurrection of the dead, in hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, and the word dead there has to do with that which is earthbound. Okay, separating death from his tokens. Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All right, and now he joins this resurrection, this empowerment, to an inheritance. Okay, I was just talking about that. An inheritance. Well, where is this inheritance? Well, this inheritance Okay, is not rooted within this dimension. Okay, it's rooted within the bosom of our Father. To an adherence, incorruptible and undefiled. Well, where is that undefiled at? The Father's conscience. Undefiled. Okay, so that's why it's important that we also, our conscience, we maintain an undefiled conscience. Okay, because even though our differences stand within the gender, okay, which of course your soul carries the differences of gender, whereas your conscience carries the testimony of God. And it's in the testimony of God that we're of one mind and one judgment, one perception, one point of discernment. Okay. So now we have the mind of Christ. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Okay, the conscience of our Father. Okay? So he accepts us in his bosom. Okay, and we can see this, okay, when he talks about the Lamb being that which is earthbound, okay, of the flesh. Okay, so he says, and the light in the city had no need of light, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. So you can see how they're united together again. This mystery was, okay, again, the origin of this mystery began in the bosom of Father himself, okay, of how he was going to perform this task, okay, to make us equal with him. Okay, and of course, when you say the word equal with God, a lot of people says, how can I ever be equal with God? Okay, but this is this was the pattern that God was establishing to bear sons of his perfect likeness, to carry on that perfect plan, to increase his perfect house. And we're going to increase his house. Okay, so God's going to add rooms onto his dimensions. Okay, these rooms, of course, has to do with our dimensions, which he's rewarding us with. Okay. So this is what Paul was talking about in Philippians. Okay, go ahead.
Our equality to God is in the conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's where we're made equal.
Mm-hmm. Right, and of course, the last enemy that should be destroyed is death. Okay, and that's when God removes the governors, and all restrictions that were put within us. Okay, and of course, our gender is a restriction to ourself. Our gender is a restriction. Okay, and this is where the conflicts always arise. Okay, from the restrictions of gender. Okay, but when it comes to faith in God, okay, there is no conflict because faith keeps the conscience pure. Okay? As long as the conscience is pure, we have fellowship with our Father. Right? And that we also have fellowship with one another. Okay, but when it comes to the state of the soul, okay, that's where weakness is at. Weakness, that's where regeneration takes place. That's where your circumcision takes place. Okay, within that. What's really fascinating is that before Adam fell, Adam and Eve were with one light. And there was no conflicts. Okay, they were actually like one soul. There's no conflict in that, see? Okay, and being in that one light, there's no conflict. But once the light dissipated, okay, and whereas they were united in that one conscience and one light, okay, there was a perfection there that every marriage counselor wished he could bring everybody in the relationship with. But because of the fall, you see what happened? Because of the fall, okay, immediately that bonding factor of conscience and light, okay, receded within the vessel, and right after that, what happened? There was accusations and envy, and then there was God put a power within each. Okay, that her desire before her husband, but her husband's desire before his work, for his career. Okay, in other words, to perform the task in order to sustain and to build. That her desire would be for the husband to build, but his desire would be for the purpose of increase. Okay, in that, you can see that in the book of Genesis. You see, that wasn't there at first. Okay, at first there was a perfect unity, a perfect bonding, and that children of light would come forth from them. Okay, whereas there would be no conflict of interest at all. Okay, but once it fell, Cain was born, and after Cain was born, conflict, family conflict, conflict among the siblings. Okay, everything, it just went phew, right down. See, because death was in this world. Okay, so we can see what death does. Okay, death restricts, death brings bondages, okay, and understanding, it brings ignorances, okay, it continually fosters, okay, you can say, the absence of knowledge, it continues to gnaw at it, the absence of knowledge. So you could tell somebody something, and they will forget 5 minutes later. That's the presence of death. You can't help that, okay, in that presence of death.
I think God created the world in the self-proof.
Right, and he can, And right, yeah, I can see that too. How right, how they it was in perfect right, perfection, but then all of a sudden, but now they're opposite. Yeah, opposite.
You know, too, Eric. I think it's James that says that all wars become because of pride, mm-hmm. and pride is because man refuses to humble himself and touch the tools.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Pride identifies independence. Okay, and pride was identified with Satan when Satan wanted to separate himself from the plan of God. Okay, he was perfect. He was perfect in the state of conscience until pride came there, which means he wanted to take the plan of God in his own person, in his own way. And the children of this world, the children of Satan, still do the same thing. They take the Bible into the direction of what they want. They want to remain independent of the tethering. And they want to be just free to love Jesus their own way. And God says, you can't love me your own way. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, which means love has to be expressed within the parameters, okay, of this covenant, or else it's not accepted. Okay? So if you separate it from the covenant, it's independent. If it's independent, then it's identified as pride, boasting, aspiration. It's identified as considering the children of Satan. And that's what Jesus says. You are of your father the devil. Remember he said that to the Pharisees. Okay, but they didn't view themselves in the light of being as a devil. But Jesus, being God, says, you're taking the knowledge which I'm giving to you, and you're not only taking the knowledge, you're opposing me with my own knowledge. You have broken it. Okay, but the scriptures can't be broken, but you did that. Okay, the scriptures, everything which is written there was written of me, but you have taken it and broken it. Okay, and severed it. You have severed it from the Godhead. So therefore, remaining independent is death. Okay? You have severed a limb from the body, or cut the limb from the tree. Okay, and by doing that, now death rules the limb. Okay, now death rules. Okay, the severed part. Okay? So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 here. Which according to his abundant mercy, his active involvement has begotten us again. Okay, now he has engrafted within us a likeness, okay, a likeness and a bonding that didn't exist there before. Okay, could the law bind us to God? No, it couldn't. The law cannot bind us to him, okay, until he breathed within us a new breath of life. Okay, the law was not the bonding. Jesus is the bonding. Okay, it was always that way. Okay, Jesus is the bonding. But he gave tokens that were presented him until that time would come. So many righteous men, many wise men, okay, sought to try to penetrate these mysteries. Why is it, God, that you would desire us, that you desire of us these activities, but yet we don't see you, we don't feel you yet? Okay? Where is this at? And this is what Jesus said: many wise and righteous men desire to see and to hear the things that you see and hear, and have not heard them. Okay, because what Jesus is saying is that I am the one that is the totality and the fulfillment of all those things that they desire to see and hear.
Like the psalm says, you see the psalm, like the spirit is with them, but it's not within.
That's right. Okay, and when the spirit is with you, there is an influence factor. Okay, but there is no bonding factor. There's an influence factor, not a bonding factor. You have to his spirit must be engrafted within you for that bonding to take place and that nourishment to take place. Okay, and that's why grace for salvation, they yield their will to the influence of that grace, but going no further, perfection can't take place then. Okay. And they begin, and from that point on, they begin to wonder where God is at, and they're trying to forge a perfection with God by the law. They immediately revert back, okay, and to that which brought them the bondage in the first place. Well, that's what Paul said to the Galatians there. Do you desire to be in bondage again to things which the things which, of course, were destroying you? Okay. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, okay, I make myself a transgressor. Okay. So, yeah, if you're trying to build a relationship with God apart from this bonding, then your life does stand in jeopardy in that severing. Okay, again, unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Okay, I said highlight that there in verse 4. All right, where is this inheritance? It's incorruptible. Okay, it's the eternal inheritance, not being earthbound. Because everything that was earthbound, even during the days of David and Solomon, okay, were corruptible. Okay, and they were vulnerable to war, famine and pestilence. Even when David was on a throne, they were vulnerable to war, famine, and pestilence. Okay, but here the inheritance is incorruptible, which is in the bosom of our Father, and undefiled, which has to just stay the conscience. And you might want to make a note of that. We could put the word conscience over that. Okay, conscience, because it's out of reach of the imagination. Okay. There we go. Okay, undefiled and fades not away, okay, which means it's ever increasing, reserved in heaven for you. Okay, because it's out of reach of the imagination of man. It's out of reach of contamination. Okay, rust can't touch it, moth can't touch it, and a thief can't break through and steal and take it. Yeah, and steal it. This is what Jesus was talking about. For lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay, yeah, the true wages of your life await you. Okay, but God will give you tokens of sustainment. Okay, it's like tokens of sustainment. Say, instead of going home preparing a meal, you stop at the fast food place, McDonald's or KFC. Okay, so God gives us KFC every day. KFC, which has to do with, you know, the tokens of the covenant. Prayer, preaching, and prophecy, KFC. Let me think of some other words for that one too, right? Okay, but the real meal, okay, the real meal of your labor still remains yet for you, the feast on. Okay, but until we get there, we have to stop at the fast food place all the time. All right, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, face not away, reserved in heaven for you. This is your true home in his bosom, who are kept. Ooh, boy. There you go. I like the word kept. Okay, it's by these tokens that God is guarding you and sustaining you. Okay, you can put KFC over that. By the power of God through faith. Okay, these are rewards which he's given to us, called also the salvation of your souls. Is these tokens are salvaging you and preserving you. And they're building God's kingdom within your heart. Who are kept by the power of God. And how is this possible? Through faith. So highlight the word faith. Draw a line from the word faith. And also to the word undefiled. State of the undefiled there in verse 4. Draw a line from the word faith, undefiled. Again, state of the conscience. Okay. Through faith. We know by faith the conscience is pure. Okay, the conscience is pure regardless of what you're feeling. Okay, because feelings change. Feelings change because of circumstances. That's the way life is. Feelings change because of circumstances. The sun gets hot, okay, you put less clothing on. The sun, it gets cold, you put more clothing on. Okay, that's just an idea, or trying to convey an idea of circumstances. Okay, circumstances are constantly changing, like seasons. Okay. But the conscience remains the same. Okay. The same thing with your heartbeat, okay, or your habits of life. Your habits of life, okay, of course, depending upon the season. Okay. But the heart keeps beating regardless of the changing of the weather. Okay. The heart keeps beating regardless of the changing of the weather. So also, by faith, the state of your conscience remains pure regardless of the circumstances that are continually presenting themselves to you, okay, and the choices that you're making. We're making choices of faith regardless of circumstances. The circumstances, nobody likes bad circumstances. I don't like bad circumstances. You don't like bad circumstances. Nobody likes it. Okay? And the circumstances, the reason why it is because death is there. Death is ugly. Okay? And death has a form of oppression. Death oppresses you. Okay? But the Lord provides a buffer. That even though death is present, yet God provides a buffer. In order to continually sustain us, that buffer of power, the power of peace, the power of that grace, okay, the power of all these other virtues, okay, manifest themselves to carry us through, like fast food, okay, until we get to the destination. Okay, so we go in verse 5 here, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Of course, that has to do with the fruit of faith. Okay, so you can put FF over that, fruit of faith, because we know that there is the factual faith, which has to do with knowledge, okay, or doctrine of faith, okay, as well as also the gift of faith. Okay, the gift of faith, again, is where the Spirit sustains you through the most adverse circumstances, okay, like Daniel in the lion's den, okay, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in the midst of fire, or Samson, okay, when the Spirit of God came upon him. See, that had nothing to do with regeneration, but when the Spirit of the Lord came with him, it had to do with sustaining him, okay, through that particular circumstance. Then after the circumstances left, okay, the Spirit left. after that. Okay. Now, he didn't even know when the Spirit left him. Okay, which shows that there wasn't any kind of a sensation. Okay, Samson did not feel any kind of sensations. Okay, which people, of course, today are very sensation centralized, if you want to call it that. You know, whereas they go to church, they're constantly got their little sensors out there saying, you know, if God is here or not. Well, God's there. God's everywhere. God's here right now. Okay, the thing that is that we're not using our sensory perceptions. Okay, regarding that, but faith. And in God, yes, he does make himself known. There's times you can feel that presence of the Lord very strong come through, and that's because you can feel him within that conscience. Conscience plays upon the sensibilities of the body. Okay, the conscience is that door. Okay, and when the Shekinah enters into the temple, okay, it has a profound effect or influence upon the physical forms of the body. Whereas when it enters a conscience, it can cause electrical currents. It feels like electrical currents going through your whole body, or heat, okay, or other sensations. So it's reserved in heaven for you. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, all right, last time. The word last time in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And the word salvation has to do with the salvaging. Okay, through these tokens, these powers, through your choices of faith. Ready to be revealed the last time. Okay, even manifested during the ninth week. Revealed last time, and even manifested the ninth week and tenth week. Wherein you greatly rejoice, okay, concerning this hope. Okay, and this is what we talked about, the season. Though now for season, so you might want to hide the word season there, okay, whether it be the first eighth week, the sixth week, or the second eighth week, okay, or your personal seasons of growth, whatever God has assigned to you, If need be, okay, whatever is assigned to us by our Father, if need be, okay, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Okay, the things, manifold, which means that life comes in twos and threes. Okay, that's just one example. Okay, manifold temptations, the challenges to your faith. These are challenges to your faith. Okay, the challenges to your faith. Okay, but we're not measuring, okay, our spiritual life on the scales of Deuteronomy 28. Okay, if you weigh your spiritual life, okay, on a scale of Deuteronomy 28, you would definitely come to a point of saying, I must not be saved, I cannot be saved, God does not love me. Okay, because if you use Deuteronomy 28 as that scale, Deuteronomy 28 was only the scale in regarding the law. It had nothing to do with regarding the work of regeneration. Okay, so how is it that those which were in Smyrna, how could those in Smyrna be so great in faith and yet live in such conditions of poverty? Okay? And this is what he says unto them. Okay, unto the angel of a church in Smyrna write. He says, these things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. You see, I know your works. Okay? He says, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. Isn't that interesting? But thou art rich. Okay? But then in the church of Laodicea, he says the very opposite. And he says, because you say you are rich, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked. That's the very opposite from the church of Laodicea. Because they were measuring God's approval on Deuteronomy. And they had a lot of wealth to support that, which we see in a false religious system today, the prosperity message. The prosperity message was measuring your spirituality, okay, by your circumstances of life. So that even Bill Gates, okay, and a lot of wealthy Christians were looked upon as being men of great faith. It's really true. I heard that. Okay, even from the mouth of Kenneth Hagin. Okay, whereas he said, okay, if the car that you drive determines also the level of your faith. So if you have Chevrolet faith, you drive a Chevrolet car. If you have Cadillac faith, then you drive a Cadillac. Okay, well, that's a slap in the face. That's death. You're right. That is a death and present death, because Deuteronomy 28 had to do with the presence of death. You're right. So that's why you don't measure God's, okay, involvement in your life on that scale, because that will deceive you. Okay, but if you measure on a scale concerning your faith, you can't be deceived. Okay, because regardless of your circumstances of life, okay, the Lord is with you, and that's why he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you."
Okay? And I were accused of being poor. because we didn't tithe and we voiced that for covenant.
Okay, so
that
see,
it wasn't right.
Right, see, that's right. The Deuteronomy 28 scale again.
Well, that's why you don't have
yeah, right
money.
There.
You
right,
so,
like that. See, it's always unequal. In that, because the moral code never, right? There's no equity in the moral code. Okay, so they have to use a lot of the imagination and try to bring equity on there. In that, and see, and from that point on, okay, there's evil suspicions, and evil surmisings, okay, envy and debate. I see all those other works, the presence of death, okay, are manifesting themselves, judging you. They're manifesting themselves, judging you. So, oh, how can you say you're of the Lord?
And okay. Condemnation too.
And yes. Okay. All right. Last time. Okay. Verse 6. Okay. Wherein greatly rejoice, if though now for a season, if need be. So I highlight the word season there. You are heaviness to manifold temptations. So I highlight the word heaviness. Interesting. Heaviness. And you notice what the Apostle Paul went through. He says that he was even in places of though he was in. Sometimes perplexed but not in despair. Perplexed but not in despair. Remember we talked about that? You can see the struggles which he went through. Okay, which of course, and using him as a pattern, because we can use Paul as a pattern. In fact, he says, follow me even as I'm a follower of Christ, right? So he's identifying himself as a pattern. That even though he went through a lot of evil circumstances, and even among false brethren, okay, yet the Lord was with him. Paul was not a failure. But I remember hearing a preacher one time preach that Paul was a failure. Paul did not really have the Kenneth Copeland faith. And this is what they're using. They were using Kenneth Copeland's boasting as criteria for strong Christian living. Kenneth Copeland's boasting. And he was a boaster. Okay. He was a rodent, right?
Yeah.
He was definitely a boaster. But his boasting, the way he boasted, okay, was so the boasting was in such a deception, okay, that actually had a point of approval on it, saying it's the Holy Ghost aggression, but it wasn't. It wasn't the Holy Ghost aggression. It wasn't the anointing of the Spirit he was speaking from. He was speaking from the standpoint of the moral code and the law, okay, and mixing a little some scriptures, okay, and what was it Mark 11:23-24? That's what he said. He built a whole concept on Mark 11:23-24, and that's what he said. It's on his tapes. He shut himself in the garage around 1960s, okay, and he put on Kenneth Hagin tapes and listened to them hour after hour after hour, and then it dawned on him, we can have what we say, all right, I'm saying I'm going to make millions of dollars, okay, and I'm going to put my tithing towards that, okay, and in fact I'll put more than my tithing, I'll put more than my 10%, I'll put a larger percentage of that. Remember, this is what everybody began preaching. Okay, if you want God involved in your life, you need to tithe. If you really want God to get involved in your life, you have to give not just your net, but your gross. Okay, the percentage of your gross in there. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, now love offerings on top of that. So you can see what happens if you measure your spirituality on the scales of the moral code or on the scales of Deuteronomy 28, that you would condemn yourself. And you say, well, where is Jesus? I thought Jesus was going to give me all I wanted. Okay, and there was an article in Christian Magazine about that. A little child went to school, okay, and began to preach about issues and money. And all of a sudden, a bunch of little kids started grabbing around him, you know. And the mother was really happy about that, things like that. It says, there it is again, that prosperity message, that destructive prosperity message. Okay, if you want Jesus, Jesus would give you the money you want. He would help you in all your little things of life. Which, of course, is true. We know that's true. Okay, but they're putting on the conditions of Deuteronomy 28 and not the conditions of covenant. And by that, it escapes your understanding. Okay, when they put on that, that's the way Satan deceives. He says, oh, this is Jesus, but he puts it on a scale over there, okay, on the other scale, the wrong scale. All right, manifold temptations, heaviness to manifold temptations. So Peter talked about that, Paul talked about that, and we experience the same thing. Okay, except we're not measuring our spirituality now on what we feel. Okay, our spirituality is based upon your commitment at the altar. No matter what you feel, you can still work at the altar. Okay, everybody has bad days. Okay, but the best thing to do Okay, is continue to be steadfast in your habits, particularly your prayer habits. Your prayer habits are important. Okay, because when you get into those prayer habits, it gives you a sense of progression. Okay, it gives you also a sense of increase. Okay, praying in the Spirit, just praying in the Spirit. Okay, we talked about that earlier. 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, increasing that. Okay, by doing those things, it gives you the confidence that you're dealing with the Spirit, and it's true, you are. When you're praying in tongues, you are using the things of the Spirit. The trial of your faith, verse 7. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. So I had the word trial and faith. Okay, that word faith again has to do with the fruit of faith. If you want your faith to increase, then you can have to exercise it in your choices. Okay? Faith does not increase unless you exercise it with your choices. And I choose to say at the altar. Okay, I choose to say at the altar, I choose to use the tools which Christ has sanctified by his blood, which he brings out, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I like the word trial. You know, Abraham was, his trial had to do with choice of faith. Okay, Satan tempts to sin, okay, but God, you say the temptations which God sets before you has to do with rewards of choices of faith. There's a completely different thing. God does not tempt us to sin. Okay, he tempts us to obedience. He challenges us to obedience, okay? That's what we did with Abraham. All right, verse 7 again. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, okay, which man values, okay, and that which is of that first covenant. This fruit, okay, is a higher quality and far superior to that which is of the earthy, that which is under Moses. Okay, that which is under Moses, okay, gave you temporal things. Okay, but that which is of God gives us eternal things. Okay, much more precious than gold. Okay, that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Okay, because the things which God has provided for us will be purged and cleansed by through the door of your conscience. That perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise. This is the eternal value, honor. Now, praise has to do with the eternal value and of that virtue. Honor again has to do with a title, which is Christ, and glory has to do with also the substance that's birthed in that. Okay, praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, the time of rewarding of your faith. Okay, when he sees that you're exercising your faith in reflection, reciprocation, okay, rehearsing these things of God, when God visits you and sees these things, he says God rewards you with another power. Okay. And these things are revealed even through your dreams, your visions, your words of knowledge. Okay, it also could be discerning of spirits. Okay, well, whatever gift God, okay, gives you for that moment, okay, is for the purpose of, okay, these are rewards. Whatever he gives you for that moment, okay, the reward of your faith, again, works a far more exceeding eternal way of glory, as Paul brings out. Okay, everything that God gives you is of eternal value. Okay. Paul brought that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, the Baptists, of course, interpreted that to mean the Bible, okay, the text, okay, whereas we know it means the work of regeneration. Okay, because God gives us these tokens, okay, whether it be prophecy, it shall fail, it be tongues, it shall cease, and whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now we know in part, we prophesy in part. That which I have given to you at this present time, okay, is as gathering the wheat and putting it on the altar. Okay, the gathering, putting it on the altar, I've given you these tokens for your faith. Okay, and the fire tries them, and now I'm going to reward you with increase of the field. So you take that out of the field, you put it on the altar again. Okay, and so the cycle continues. I'm going to increase the fruits of your field. Okay, every time you take this a small portion put on there, I'm going to increase it over here 100-fold. Okay, so you take the fruits of the field and you put it on the altar, okay, and of course the fire consumes it. Okay, and of course the consumption of it is with faith. Okay, so whether it be prophecies or shall fail. Will be tongues that shall cease, and when there be knowledge that shall vanish away. But when that which is perfect has come, the completion of your cycle and that fruit and your rewards, okay, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I'm going to give you another one. Okay, until every one of these cycles are completed. You see what the Lord's saying right there? Okay. For now you see through glass darkly. You behold me, but in part right now. Okay, but then as I continue to give these rewards, okay, you're going to behold me face to face. Okay. That's what Paul was writing about. But the Baptists thought that the face of God was just in the text. It's not. You know, the face of God is in the Spirit. And the text speaks about the face, and it describes the face to us, so that when the Spirit appears, okay, he says, yeah, that's right, that's the exact description. Okay, I can see him. Okay, well, how about one more minute here, we'll go on. Until the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, okay, until the completion, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, that means you're accepting the report and you're building. You're accepting this report and building. Okay, yet believing you rejoice. Okay, this is your cycles of growth. Okay, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, spirit. Okay, the gifts of calling is the grace of God. Okay, the gifts of calling is the grace of God. Yet believing you rejoice with joy. That's the expected outcome. Okay, from your embracing and initiating these tokens. Embracing and initiating these tokens. That you have received a portion of the field. You're putting it with the environment of the display bread of unleavened bread, and you're putting it upon the altar. Okay? And then after it has completed its use, it's removed and ingested, and you take a portion of the field, put it within a portion of the bread, the display bread, and you put it back on the altar. The cycle continues on. Okay? And I am sustaining you by these tokens. That's what the Lord's saying. I'm sustaining your faith by these tokens. But a time is coming when we will definitely greet one another. You'll see me face to face. Okay? But right now, you see my face within the cycles. You see my face within this knowledge. You see my face within the charity of each other. Okay? That we see every day. Okay? That's good. That's healthy, and that's a good church. Okay? So whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not physically in his presence, yet believing this report, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, which is beyond human expression of tongues, and full of glory, the overflowing of this virtue, and there's overflowing of virtue of his virtue in this light. Receiving the end of your faith, there's that word faith again, which is fruit of faith. Receiving the end, okay? So the sacrifice was just burned. Okay? So I took a portion of the field. I took a sheaf. I put it within the bread. Prayer, preaching, prophecy now. Okay, I'm taking the knowledge, I'm putting it into a form of charity, and I'm offering upon the altar. Okay, now it's completed. You're saved. God's working within your heart. Okay, but then, okay, I'm going to repeat the cycle again. I'm going to take it from the field, put it within the bread. Okay, get it all ready here as an unleavened bread. I'm going to place it upon the altar or the table, and it's consumed. Again, see. But the thing of it is within every cycle you're growing.
The form of.
Every cycle, you're growing. You're not getting younger. You're growing, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, you're growing. So that's the salvation of your soul. Within those cycles there. So therefore, you're seeing the face of Christ within this whole thing. Yeah, I can see that. See, the face of Christ within that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 identifies these cycles, the work of regeneration and renewing the mind. Okay? So though we see him not, hey, we continue to use these things, but then there's a time coming when we see them face to face. That these tokens, which you're presently using at this point of time, will have an end of its use, because we're going to be inside of them. Okay, so knowledge, okay, learning the knowledge won't be necessary. It will be there, okay, because we're right in the light. Okay, prophecy, don't need it. Okay, you only need prophecy if you're outside. Okay, but if you're inside of him, what do you need it for? Everything's fulfilled. So what are you prophesying yet? What's yet to come? See, it's all there right in here. Okay, well, let's offer some sacrifices here.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.